The Old Testament reading for the 10th Sunday after Trinity is from Jeremiah chapter 8. You shall say to them, "Thus says the Lord, when men fall, do they not rise again? If one turns away, does he not return? Why then has this people turned away in perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I have paid attention and listened, but they have not spoken rightly. No man relents of his evil, saying, 'What have I done?' Everyone turns to his own course, like a horse plunging headlong into battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows her times, and the turtle dove, the swallow, and the crane keep the time of their coming. But my people know not the just decrees of the Lord. How can you say, 'We are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us'? But behold, the lying pen of the scribes has made it into a lie. The wise men shall be put to shame. They shall be dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom is in them? Therefore, I will give their wives to others and their fields to conquerors, because from the least to the greatest, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. From prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among the fallen. When I punish them, they shall be overthrown, says the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 9 and 10. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it. That is, a righteousness that is by faith. But that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. When Jesus drew near and saw the city of Jerusalem, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." And Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is the gospel lesson just read, Luke 19, 41 to 48. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, at the heart of modern Jerusalem is a place that is one of the most sacred places to Jews all around the world. It is known as the Western Wall, referring to its role as a retaining wall along the west side of the ancient Temple Mount of Jerusalem. It is known as the Wailing Wall for all those pilgrims who come and remember the sorrows of the Jews for the last 2,000 years. Every day of the year, Jewish pilgrims from all around the world and in all sorts of Jewish and local dress come to the wall to touch its stones. These stones witness the fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy in our gospel lesson when he said, "They will not leave one stone upon another because you did not know the day of your visitation." The stones to which Jesus referred were the temple buildings that were above the Wailing Wall. The day in which Jesus spoke the words of our gospel lesson was Palm Sunday, probably 29 AD. 40 years later, the Jews who lived in Judea decided to rebel against their Roman masters. The Romans were not about to give up a choice piece of Mediterranean real estate. There was no Cal exit option, you might say, for Judea. So they sent their legions to take back Judea. When the legions arrived, the city of Jerusalem was celebrating its Passover festival with Jewish pilgrims there from every land. Josephus, the historian, reports that there were 3 million people in the city when the siege began. We know from Christian histories that the apostles and the Christians had left the city because of the warnings that Jesus gave to the church in Luke 21, 5 to 24. Now, these Romans were masters at conducting sieges, and they rarely lost a battle. Basically, the idea was to starve out the inhabitants when they could not break down the walls. And being filled with pilgrims beyond the normal people that lived there, it was not long before the Jews in the city exhausted all their food stores. Then they started capturing and eating the pigeons and the sparrows. And then when that ran out, the rats and the mice. And when that ran out, the horses and the cats and the dogs and the bugs and anything else that moved. When all the food was gone, the people inside the walls started eating their dead and their sick, and then their babies and their children and leather and anything else to fill their bellies. When the Romans had finished building the ramp to go over the walls, there was hardly a man or woman able to fight. Almost all were at the point of starvation. Some of the people had eaten their coins and jewelry in the hope that that would be spared. The Roman soldiers heard about this and started slaughtering the people left and right to find the coins and jewelry in their stomachs. Finally, the emperor from Rome had to give orders to the soldiers to stop the slaughter, but to take the remainder of the people that were alive and sell them as slaves. The slaves that were survivors were considered so worthless by the Roman soldiers that they sold 30 slaves for a penny, and all were scattered around the Roman Empire. Then the Romans tore down all the buildings, starting with the Temple Mount, and then all the rest of the buildings, and they burned the city to the ground in fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy. As a prophet and as the divine Son of God, Jesus could see this all 40 years in advance. Jesus saw in advance Roman armies, bloodshed, starvation, and utter devastation. And as our gospel tells us, verse 41, Jesus wept over what he saw. Although his enemies were in the city, and they would still be there when this destruction occurred, he wept over the city and all of its people. He wept primarily because they had disregarded their own salvation when it came to them. In the weeping of Jesus, we see the love and mercy of God up close and personal. You know somebody is touched when you see them crying or you see tears coming out of their eyes. As St. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 2:4, God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants every single man, woman, and child to hear the good news of the gospel and through faith in that gospel to be saved. And Jesus weeps over those who are not saved. Some people might say, well, if God really wants all people to be saved, why doesn't he save all people? He is God. Can't he do anything? Well, that's one of the questions that puzzled the monks and scholars in the Middle Ages, which they debated endlessly. It is a type of question like, if God is almighty, can he make a rock that he can't move? What the Bible reveals about God is that he is both a loving God, on the one hand, and a righteous judge on the other. He upholds the law. Now, if somebody says this is a contradiction, then they must also say that all the judges who condemn criminals are not loving people. And this example from our own courts proves that the same person can be both compassionate and loving, and at the same time condemn criminals to death or other punishments. Well, that brings us back to our question. If God really wants all people to be saved, why doesn't he just save all people? And the answer to this question is that God himself must obey justice and uphold the law. He cannot play favorites. He cannot just ignore crimes against humanity, because he then himself would be unjust. Just put yourself into the position of a judge. Would you let the following people go free without any punishment? Those who have committed crimes against humanity in war. The authors of genocide like Hitler or Stalin or Pol Pot. Murderers, rapists, torturers, slaveholders who abused their slaves, persons who sexually abuse their children, swindlers who defraud widows and orphans. Should all these evil people and others like them be saved? Where is the justice in that? Well, some people might reply, some people have a change of heart after they commit such crimes. Shouldn't they be given a second chance? Well, yes, In God's court, there is a second chance before they meet God on Judgment Day, and it is called repentance. It does not excuse them from punishment by human courts, but declares them innocent in God's court if they repent and believe in the gospel. Repentance was the essence of the message of John the Baptist, and was proclaimed first to the religious leaders of Jerusalem, and they rejected it. And it was also the message of our Lord Jesus Christ throughout his ministry and career of about 3 years. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, is a message for all people, not just criminals. If you repent and admit your sins here on earth, God will forgive your sins and declare you innocent on the day of judgment. And that is how God is both just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now, some people might say, "What, me? I'm not a criminal. Why should I repent of my crimes?" Ah, that's exactly what the people of Jerusalem thought. They were a religious people. They thought they were good. The young ruler that came to Jesus, he said, "I've kept the law since my youth." Most of them were resentful of Jesus' message that they were sinners. So they disregarded the gospel of Jesus. And this is what the Jews around the world continue to do today. As long as they disregard the gospel, they will not be saved. And that pertains to anybody else who disregards the message of Jesus. The fate of the people of Jerusalem is an example for you and a warning. If you are a Christian, you practice religion in some way, and you might think that you are, quote, good. You might be tempted to make light of your sins against God and to rely on your own virtue or good works. If and when you do that, you may be disregarding the gospel of Jesus Christ. He came to save sinners, people like you and me. Always remember that. May you always heed Jesus' call to repent and believe the gospel until that day when you meet your just and your loving Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.